1 Corinthians 6:19, that's where we left off at last time, and is where we will pick up with today, and then 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and then 1 Corinthians 6:19. How many were here when we left off, or I should say, when we talked about the medical problems dealing with the diet? How many were not here and we talked about the diet? Okay, we may have to do a little bit of review then. Amen. All right. You that were not here, you saved yourselves some pain and punishment of what to eat and what not to eat. Because that came right after Thanksgiving, where most of us gorged out, I'm sure. As we go into a brand new year, though, you can use this information to help you out. And do trust it will be a blessing to you around Christmas time and beyond. And into the new year. 1 Corinthians 6:19, verse 19 and 20, chapter 6, 19 and 20, and then we'll go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Everybody there say amen. Any omies? All right. Again, remember, we started this several weeks ago talking about ordinary sinners with an extraordinary Savior. And we went from that point on talking about how many people come to Christ disillusioned, thinking when they got saved, all their problems disappear. Amen. And we still have problems. We're talking about ways that we can minimize some of the problems that we come to Christ with. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Read those two verses along with me. Here we go. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Over to 1 Timothy. 1 Corinthians 6:19 is our jumping verse that we talked about. Our bodies belong to God, and he is concerned about what we do with them and what we put in them and how we treat them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we left off dealing with this because this details the New Testament thought process on our diet. Verse number 1 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And notice what he says in verse 4, the speaking that he's talking about in verses 1 and 2, he said it's this, forbidding to marry. So he's telling some people they can't be married. And commanding, notice this, to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So he says, there's some teaching that's saying that we can't eat certain things. Read verses 4 and 5 with me together. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If God says that everything is okay to eat, does that mean that we should eat everything? No, doesn't mean. My mother can tell you, I best not eat rhubarb. Ain't that right, Mom? I shouldn't eat no rhubarb. My mother saw me a horrible sight when I ate it. So certain things, although it's good for you to eat, it may not be meant for you to eat. And we left off talking about that, finishing up our topic on medical problems that may be self-inflicted and may be minimized, if not prevented altogether. We left off with the subject of a good daily diet right after Thanksgiving. As we prepare for a new year, we're going to finish the rest of that off, dealing with some things that we need to be aware of and advised of as we finish this area off. By the way, I'm not a doctor, but much of what we've discussed is practical preventive maintenance, and it's common knowledge and biblical sense to all of us. And these things will help us to minimize possibly some medical problems, if not altogether throw some out the window that we have inflicted ourselves with. Father, today, as we look at this area again, well, oftentimes it's not spoken to Christian folk about their diet and what they ought to eat. And Lord, consequently, many, many medical problems are the result. Help us to be wise, as you said in the Word of God, as serpents and harmless as doves in our application of the Word of God. And Lord, taking to heart what you have said in the Bible. Lord, when we come to Christ, many of us have already steamrolled problem on top of problem into our lives, and we expect you then to take it all away all at once, and God, that's oftentimes not the case. So Lord, speak to our hearts today that we may glean a blessing from your word, and Lord, may become a little bit more knowledgeable on this body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which we have of you. Holy Spirit is in us, and Lord, we're not our own. We're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And help us to honor you with our bodies and our hearts and our time, which all belongs to you. God, I pray that if there's one today without Jesus Christ, that they will see that not so much about what we eat or what we do or what we don't do, it's more about who we have. And we must have Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. His death, his burial, his resurrection assures us of heaven if we repent of sins and call upon his name to save us. And Lord, if there's a man, woman, boy or girl in the sound of my voice, I pray that they would be held in your loving arms. And Lord, they would be made to hear today the precious truth that God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, save that man. Today, save that woman. Today, save that boy. Today, save that girl. And Lord, arrest our minds, anoint our ears to hear, and Lord, help us to open our hearts to receive the message you have for us today. And Lord, Holy Spirit, walk the aisles of this church and prick the hearts that need to be pricked. Open the hearts that need to be opened. Save the lives that need to be saved. Strengthen, encourage the saints that are walking. And Lord, give them courage and confidence to continue from this point on into a new year if you tarry your coming. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Brother David and Brother Duffy are going to sing for us today.
Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Amen. Away in a manger. Thank you, David and Brother Ken. I appreciate the message and song. It is that time of the year that we focus on the manger scene and the times of Christ. And, you know, even though Christmas comes and we have manger scenes and things of that nature, you know, Jesus didn't stay a baby. You know, it's just a remembrance, just like we have crosses with Jesus still on the cross. You know, he came off the cross. Amen. And it's just a reminder of this time of the year, this time of the season that we have. Amen. Well, we're going to try to finish this area off. Many of you may not have been with us the entire duration. So I'm going to briefly kind of summarize some things that we have discussed here dealing with this subject matter. We began looking at some problems that we have when we come to Christ because of a misnomer that comes with Matthew 1:21. Go over to Matthew 1:21 because this is where all of this started at. And when you look at Matthew 1:21, you see something here. The announcement is given about Jesus Christ and what's going to happen. Notice what it says here in verse 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And dealing with our sins, many people think that when I come to Christ, then all my problems are over because Christ is going to save us or rescue us from our sins. And by the way, sin caused problems not going to go away. You know why? Because we're sinners and we'll create more. Amen. And so God's job is not to save you from your problems that have been caused by sin. He has come to save you from the end result of sin, which is death in a place called hell. Amen. And so we took that and began to run with that from our problems. And so when we are saved then, do we still have problems?
Yes
we do. And when we get saved, our number one problem is gone. That's hell. Amen. I'm not going there anymore. Hallelujah and praise God. And that's good. But now what am I going to do with my problems? And we saw Jesus take the disciples and he said, I want you to come and be with me. And he began to train them for the next 3.5 years on how to navigate through problems and how to handle problems that may arise in their life. And by the way, you and I have the same thing. So we have this problem called sin. We get saved, but then when we get saved, our problems can be navigated through better with and by the Word of God. You show me someone that comes to Christ and gets saved and doesn't navigate their life with this book, their problems will only compound as they live. Now, are they saved? If they have called on the Lord, they are saved. Will they go to heaven? Yes, they will, but their life on earth will be miserable. It'll be miserable. And so that's where we started at with problems that we have after getting saved. May I submit to you this? Your chief problem and my chief problem is our sin. And our chief concern is death. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. All of us have an appointment with death, and all of us have an appointment to die if we don't get caught in the rapture. And my friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ at the point of death, you are in jeopardy of going to a place of torment eternally. And with that mindset, then I turn to Christ who died. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I am saved then from the penalty and the punishment ultimately that sin will bring in a place called hell. But now he saves me. He doesn't leave me there to just waddle. He says, now I want you to get through these problems that you have. And what were the main problems that we saw that many people come to Christ with? Relational problems, dealing with marital, parental, and occupational. Financial, which comes as well. By the way, we saw financial problems. Many of them can be minimized if you just start tithing.
Amen.
Amen. Just start tithing and giving offerings, amen. And then we saw medical problems, which came right after that. In this area, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul here is dealing with moral issues and the body. And he makes a statement concerning our bodies. He says to the Corinthian church in verse 19, what? Question mark. What? Normally when my children say something to me and I'm amazed that they don't know the answer, I'll say, what? Because I expect they should know the answer. I suspect my mother or father said that to me a time or two. What? Don't you know this? He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Which ye have of who? God. And you're not what? Your own. He said, don't you know this? You don't belong to you. By the way, when you got saved, when you signed up and said, oh, Lord, take me to heaven, you didn't say, take part of me to heaven and leave the rest.
When you got saved, you didn't say, Lord, save my hands, save my feet, believe my head, my eyes to myself. You said, Lord, save me, period, totally. And guess what? He saved you totally. So how much of you belong to Jesus Christ? All of you. All of you. And he says in verse 24, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This statement applies to our topic dealing with medical problems that can be minimized, if not prevented altogether. Some people live this way. Well, I'm saved now, so it doesn't matter. I can eat and drink and smoke whatever I want to say. I'm going to heaven. Preacher, no one would be stupid enough to say that. Ask my wife what I said the very afternoon that I got saved. I got saved around 1 or 2 o'clock or whatever time it was after church, after my 2.5 hours of sitting down with Brother Dunn and leading me to Christ, and I felt like a new man. I went home rejoicing that I've been saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I went in that refrigerator and pulled out a cold beer and opened that thing up and goop, down the drain. And you know how I felt? Bad. I said, let me drink another one. That first one, that must didn't have something on it. No better. I must have drank about, what, 10, 12 of them. I drank a bunch of them. And not even a hint of altered state feeling whatsoever. But you know how I did feel? I felt like a scumbag. I felt like a dirtbag. I felt like some wretch. Just come home from church. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Oh, I'm saved. My wife said, what you doing? I'm saved now. Some people live like that. They get saved. They want to use their body to do whatever they want to do. And my friend, that's not right. That doesn't go with being saved. They want to smoke up. They want to snort up. They want to drink up. They want to cuss up. They want to act up. That doesn't go with being saved. And the Holy Spirit told me real quick that that wasn't right. I packaged all that liquor up, got that junk out of the house. Wasn't doing me no good anyway. Did my bank book no good anyway. Did the liquor store a lot of good, though. I hear preachers oftentimes say, well, the body doesn't matter. And so they won't preach on eating while they have a weight problem. Well, this body's going anyway. Well, that doesn't mean I should disregard it. That doesn't mean that I should do whatever I want to do to this body just because I'm going to heaven. Hey, folks, if you haven't figured this out, you only get one body. And you can't serve God without your body. Preacher, I can have an out-of-body experience. And you can't serve God with that out-of-body experience. You've got one body. And so we looked at some of the problems that we come to Christ with, and many, like me, are self-inflicted. You bought the problem on yourself because of your sin nature. And God wants to help you with these problems, whether it's marital, whether it's occupational, whether it's parental, whether it's medical. They are self-inflicted. Let me give you just a brief review, and then we're going to get this finished. What did we talk about when we dealt with these medical problems? We said that some medical problems stem from our diet and our lack of exercise. What we eat and how much of what we eat can lead to medical problems. By the way, if you got high blood pressure, certain things you shouldn't eat. If you got high cholesterol, certain things you really shouldn't eat. If you have certain problems, there are certain things you really shouldn't eat. And in our message, we saw, number one, we should have a good daily diet. A good daily diet. And we humorously looked at Proverbs 23:2, which Solomon said, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given appetite. In other words, Solomon said, you better put a knife up there. If you can't control it, put a knife up there and pretend like you're about to cut it off so nothing can go down there. Now, we look at that humorously, but some people require that type of discipline. Now, I'm not talking about cut your throat. I'm just talking about you need to apply some disciplinary actions to what you eat. Hey, some folks can't control looking at chocolate and not eating it. Looking at Joshua. Joshua said, I never met a chocolate I didn't like. I never met a sweet that I didn't like. Every sweet is my friend. I don't care. I like every sweet in the book. He got that Dairy Queen card yesterday. He said, Padre, since I have won this Dairy Queen card, Padre, on the way home, Padre, could we possibly stop by Dairy? No. I said, not today, son. We got things to do. Maybe some other time. We got things to do. And we do stop by, but don't forget, Dad likes sweets, too. Joshua always comes, yes, Padre, you get the first sweet. What am I talking about? Solomon put the word out there that we have to exercise some restraint on what we eat, dietarily speaking. And we looked at this. Consider the Old Testament eating restrictions. We saw in the beginning before the flood, they ate only herbs. And Adam and Eve only ate herbs. How'd you like that? Amen. And then we saw B, in the beginning after the flood, they ate herbs and meats. God said, you can eat everything you want to. Amen. They had no dietary restrictions at that point when they got off that ark. None. Zero. They had only one thing. They couldn't eat blood. And then we saw in the beginning of the law to the Jews only, the Jews had a specialized diet. We saw that in Leviticus chapter number 11. There were restrictions on their land animals, on their water animals, their air animals, and then special instructions to show that they were a separated people. And hear me now, that was in the law only. It was never written to Noah. It wasn't written to Adam and Eve. It was not written to anyone outside of the Jewish family. By the way, if you're not Jew, it didn't apply to you. Aren't you glad? How many of y'all like shrimp? You'd be a bad Jew eating that. How many of y'all had some ham for Thanksgiving? You'd be a bad Jew. Now, by the way, all that stuff not good for you. That's why he put it in there, amen. But then we saw for the New Testament saints, Christ is the end of the law for diet restrictions. We went to Romans 10:4, which says this, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, we don't have to keep the law because Jesus already did, and we have him to be righteous in the sight of Almighty God, so you and I don't need to do anything to be right with God other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and we inherit Jesus Christ's righteousness. Hallelujah and praise God. Somebody say amen. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about what I'm eating and how the days are and what I do and honoring your father and your mother every day to get to heaven, because mama, I'd have been lost. My mother got me many a good days. Many of y'all heard about some of those good days. My dad made up for all the days that she didn't get me on. Amen. Because when he got me, it lasted for a while. And so we fast forwarded then to what the New Testament eating restrictions were, and go to 1 Timothy, and that's where we read that verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we saw the New Testament liberty eating restrictions, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. He says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, giving of them which believe and know the, what's that word? Truth. Know the truth. Jesus said it this way, and ye shall know the what? Truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. You know what he's saying? There's no restriction to the law for you now because I kept it all. I'm so glad Jesus paid it all. But notice what he says down there, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused will be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so we left off with that, dealing with the good daily diet that we need to have. We began talking about some things that maybe you should eat, some things that you shouldn't eat, and we left it with that. And so now we come to the next part of this, and this is the next part that we don't like. Not only should you and I have a good daily diet, you know what else should go with that? And this is going to be a curse word to some of y'all. Efficient exercise. Oh, no, not that word, preacher. Not exercise. No, sis, not so. We have that circle with the little X through it. No exercise, not for me. Folks, let me just share a few concerns with you. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, And notice what he says in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou should be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. Notice verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Paul makes a statement here. He says, you know what? He said, you really need to exercise or work out your godliness. He says, because bodily exercise profits little. You know what he means by that? It only works for a short time. I'm only in this body for a short time. But godliness, guess what, is profitable? Forever. Now, the only problem with that, I am in this body for a short time. And if I don't take care of this body, I can't minister without this body. So bodily exercise does profit little. Godliness does profit a whole lot. He said bodily exercise profit little, but godliness profit unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So we also need efficient exercise to help minimize some medical problems. Because what do we start this thing with? Some medical problems that we have bought upon ourselves by what we eat or don't eat, or how much of it we eat and how little we move with it. Somebody say amen. You get up from the Thanksgiving table, not many of us want to go to the treadmill. You know where we want to go? To the bed, to the couch, to the lazy boy, and turn that on. Now, if you do that for 365 days, you will look like a mammoth. Just being honest with you. Now, some of you have a fast metabolism. You may not look like a mammoth. But for those of us that are envious of you, we will look like a mammoth while you look like a snake. So the words profiteth little means for a portion of time. We are in our bodies a limited of time, so we should exercise it to keep it fit. Medical professionals encourage, I got an article I'm going to read to you in a minute. Medical professionals encourage healthy people with, let me say this, no medical concerns. Don't anybody run out of here and say, preacher told me to run around the block 5 times. You got a heart problem. Don't you do it. Preacher said I need to exercise. Then you die. What'd they die of? Preacher told me to go run. Medical professionals encourage people with no medical concerns to exercise for prevention. Prevention. When I go to the doctor, normally they will always ask me, are you working a minimum, or working out a minimum of 5 days a week? Of course I say, yes I am. And they say, well, if you're not working out a minimum of 5 days a week, are you at least getting in? They give me the minutes and stuff like that. I say, yes, I am. And then they ask me this question. Do you feel sane? Do you feel like harming someone? Do you feel like insanity? Are you depressed? I'm thinking, no. But I'm sure some people do. I wonder if you go in there, they say, do you feel depressed? Yes. Do you feel insane? Yes. Do you feel like killing someone? Yes. Doctor will kind of look at you. Can somebody call the medic? Got a live one here. The thing is, because we don't do what we should do, sometimes we feel that way. Because we don't take this book and apply its principles and understand that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's a living sacrifice we should be. And because we don't get into this book and apply what is, we have thoughts of killing. We have thoughts of maiming. We have depressive thoughts. We have all those things. But if we apply the balm of Gilead, let me tell you, many of those things may dissipate if not go away altogether. And the ones that don't, guess what, I can manage with the power of God, because the Apostle Paul said, I had a thorn in my flesh, but he told me my grace is sufficient for thee, amen, and praise God. But because we don't do this, guess what? We go in there with those thoughts. Then we lie to the doctor, amen, like we lie to the preacher. But anyway, going on here. Bodily exercise profiteth little. The goal should be to do either 150 minutes per week of exercise that medical professionals advise, 30 minutes of moderate intensity cardio, that's your heart, at least 5 days a week, or 75 minutes per week, 25 minutes of vigorous aerobic, that's your lungs, 3 days a week. That's what the medical professionals describe you should do. You should do something. Amen? By the way, let me give you this. No matter what we can do, we should do something to move our bodies. Come in, G2. We are made to move. Guess how G2 got up here? He moved. When God made man, he didn't make him like this. Adam, can't move my jaw, God, because you didn't make me that way. Adam, come here. God, you didn't make me that way, so I can't walk. Adam, don't touch that fruit. I can't anyway because you didn't make me move. We have joints. We have moving parts. G2 can play basketball. He went up to the conference. They said, get the Guinness Book of World Record, putting the ball between your legs and doing this stuff like that. G2's up there. Ah, 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 ah. Go, G, go, G, go. What if he couldn't move? He was jointless. He has joints. He can flick the wrist. He can shoot that three-pointer. I hope you don't shoot it like that, amen. He can grab the ball like this. He can jump and shoot like he's going to shoot. Oh, look at that. Now, if God didn't make him with joints to flex like he does around the house all the time, Kirby, can you get this? You're laughing. You can go sit down. What am I saying? We need efficient exercise because God made us to move. If God wanted us to be sedentary, he would have made us sitting in a chair. He would have made us in an easy boy. Lazy boy. Easy boy, lazy boy, whatever the case may be. But God made us with moving parts. Notice Genesis 32 and verse 25. Notice these moving parts here. And when he saw, this is Jacob wrestling with the angel. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, Genesis 32:25, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Wrestling is movement. God made you with joints and things that move and that curve, and you can bend your legs and you can flex and things like that. You have sockets. Why? God wants you to move. Now, as we get older, we move less. And as we get older, we move slower. And as we get older, parts aren't usable like they used to be. But it gets worse when you don't exercise. Amen. I'm trying to help y'all out for the new year. Some of y'all are going to make some New Year's resolutions. Amen. Trying to help you out. Proverbs 25:19 says this way, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken foot, a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. You ever try to walk on an ankle that's been messed up? NBA players are constantly sitting out because of ankle problems. Steph Curry sat out multiple times, injured his ankle about 16 times. It's hard to maneuver without your ankles. My dad will be the first one to tell you, along with Miss Jerry Duffy, it's hard to move without a knee. Amen. And when that thing, that cartilage wears out and you're bone on bone, ooh, my soul. That hurts. Amen, Ms. Reba? Yeah, we know how it is. But you see, Ms. Reba now, she's still just as gracious as ever. Got my joints working now. Ms. Duffy comes in here, I walk faster than my husband. Got my joints working. We were made to move. And we can't move without our bodies. We go where our bodies go or don't go. We only have one body to serve God with. Notice what Paul said in Philippians 1:24. He told the Philippians this. He said, I want to go to heaven. I want to go and graduate and go to glory. But notice what he says. Philippians 1:24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what he's saying? For me to stay in my body is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. You know what Paul is saying? It's better for me to stay in my body that moves other than go to heaven because I can help you. What am I saying here? We need some efficient exercise. We are made to move with moving parts, with joints and movement and flexibility. And by the way, our bodies are on loan and we should take care of it. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. By the way, I had my shoulder, my rotator cuff. Remember that, Pastor White? I had to go get this rotator cuff fixed. And I'm right-handed. And I was only in this cast for what? Maybe a month or 6 weeks? Something like that. About 6 weeks. And when they took the cast off, guess where that arm went? I tried to raise that thing up. It hurt. How many ever had a rotator cuff surgery? It hurt. It was only inoperable for 6 weeks. I said, what's wrong with my shoulder? They said, it's frozen. I said, it ain't cold. What's wrong with my shoulder? They said, it's frozen. That's what happens, hear this, when you don't use it. When you don't move it. How many of y'all slept on a part of your body the wrong way at night and you don't move it? And what happens? Oh, man, that thing hurt. How many of you ever had a crook in your neck? But it rests them, amen. Hey, when you get that thing is where it shouldn't be, and guess what? It hurts. Why? It's made to move, not be in one position. And so medical science has proven that you and I have to move. Bodily exercise profit a little, but it does. I've got an article on exercise. You're not going to like this, but let me read it for you anyway. You say, preacher, well, I'm not going to like it. If you don't move, you're not going to like it. This is written by Nicole Keith. She's a doctor, amen? And it says, let me see, what kind of doctor is she? She is at Indiana University, amen, and for the professor of kinesiology. She says this, no matter if you're thin, it's still important to keep working out. Some people say, well, I'm thin, I don't need to work out. Guess what? You were made to move. She said this, research has even found that people who are obese, notice this, and cardiovascularly fit have better health outcomes than people who are slim and not fit. Amen. So you may be a little bit overweight, but if you're working out, you fare better than someone that's slim and doesn't work out. Amen. Why? You may have an internal ticking time bomb inside. She says, aim to be active 150 minutes each week is what we just said. Spread across 5 or 6 days instead of just 1 or 2. Your body benefits more from daily increases in your heart rate and oxygen consumption, just like your system benefits from food and water that's consumed. It improves cognition, for instance, and reduces stress and anxiety. I mean, y'all get anxious, anxiety, stress, amen. Go work out, amen. Go work out. She says, "What move whenever you can. Go for a walk. Take the stairs in your building. You can even do laps around your house. March in place during TV commercials." There you go. Amen. "For a change, try changing the channel without the remote control."
Well, there you go.
Oh, is there such a thing? Who's got the remote?
Who got it?
Walk all over the house looking for the remote. There's your exercise right there. We forgot what it felt like to manually change the channel. I mean, we got these digital TV, radio stations where you can preset and I want that one, I want that one. Back in the day, you just had to go in and keep turning that thing until you got to the right channel. But now we've got remote controls and we sit in our lazy boys and we don't exercise and we don't move and we wonder why we have problems. I wonder why I got some excess weight hanging on me, because you didn't work it off. And you ate too much. She says, try going shopping at the mall and walk, but don't buy anything. That'll exercise your willpower. Go to the mall and shop, but don't buy anything. Just walk from one end to the other. My mother used to do that to us. We go to the first store. We walk through the entire mall to every store where my mother could look and see what the best deal was, just to come back to the first store. Bless my dad's heart. My dad still has to do that to this day. That's why he's so in shape. Amen. I used to go like that and say, Mom, can I just wait here? Because I know you're going to come back to the store sooner or later. Amen. I'll be right here when you come back. Amen. And my mom go out there and sure enough, he come, Mom. I knew I'd see you sooner or later. Amen. Hey. Dad, I'm sorry, but I know that's how you stay in shape. Amen. Hey, she says, just because you miss one day, it's like skipping lunch. That doesn't mean you're going to skip lunch the rest of your life. Amen. You get back on it. and you do what you need to do. You get with a group if you need to get with a group, or you buy something. They say this, 7 in 10 feel inspired just by putting on workout gear. You're more inspired to work out if you put the gear on. Hey, I didn't got dressed now. I might as well go out there. Hey, man, my wife will tell you, I'm a fair weather walker. I'll get dressed and get ready. And if it starts raining, I'm thinking, well, I can't work out today, amen. It's raining out there. I had to get on that treadmill. I despise my treadmill. I don't like working on that thing. Amen. So exercise efficiently as you can minimize medical problems. Let's go to this next one. Amen. Y'all not going to like this one either. How many of y'all like that one? How many like the diet one a couple weeks ago? That wasn't good either. Amen. Here's the next one. We need efficient exercise to help minimize medical problems, but we need a good daily diet. But then here's another basic thing that can increase decrease medical problems if we're not careful. And you're not going to like this one, I'm going to tell you anyway. We should steer our stress. Steer our stress. You know, stress is a one of the causes of medical problems as well. Stress. I remember when I was a kid, my mother, I'm sure she probably does not remember, she had these vitamins called stress tabs. It was a red box. Remember that mom had the candle burning at both ends? My mother used to take these vitamins every day. She worked at Mount Sinai Hospital emergency room where you had all kind of drug addicts and whatnots come in there and curse her out and things like that. And she would get that red box and it said stress tabs, had the candle burning at both ends. She'd take those things. I didn't know what stress was back in those days. I'm like, stress tab? What are you taking that stuff for? She told me about the job. I thought, well, that girl brought me stress just thinking about it. Amen. I need to take some of those. Amen. But stress is one of the leading causes in bad medical health. Amen. Here's another article by Lara Fielding, behavioral psychologist at Pepperdine University, in regards to stress. Notice what she says about it. Stress is inevitable, but its cumulative effects over time are what damages your health. Chronic stress has been linked to a host of issues, including anxiety, depression, weight gain, inflammation, digestive issues, fertility problems, poor memory as well. The way to avoid repercussions is by dealing with stress adequately when it happens. Ironically, she must have been reading my notes. Notice what she says. Some of the leading causes in stress are parental issues, occupational issues, marital issues, relational issues, and financial issues. She must have been reading my notes. Those are all the things that we talk about. Did we talk about that the past several weeks? All of the things, all the problems that we come to Jesus Christ with are bringing us stress, and if we don't do something about it, guess what? I'm going to be in bad shape. And I like what she says. Research shows that it's not the stress itself, but our attitudes and belief about the stress that make it so toxic. In other words, when you feel powerless, that's when stress becomes harmful. So it's not the amount of stress you have in your life that matters. It's how you handle it. Amen. Hey, were many of God's people under stress? Yes. What'd they do? They took it to the Lord. Amen. They got that thing settled with God. So stress in and of itself is not going to kill you. By the way, these are some of the health-related problems with stress. Heart problems, asthma, obesity, diabetes, headaches, depression, gastrointestinal problems, Alzheimer's, accelerated aging, and premature death all are related to and attached to stress in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Hey, folks, what am I saying? We need to steer our stress. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 30 with me. Show you what David did with his stress. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Did God's people get stressed? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Are Christians today going to get stressed? Yes, they are. But aren't you glad to know that the same God that David served, we serve? Aren't you glad that the same God that Isaiah served, we serve? And Elijah and on, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, here's David. David's out on the run from Saul, and he's trying to do a good thing, and a bad thing happens to him. And their families get taken, and everything that they have gets taken. And talk about stress. Notice verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Notice verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Would you be under stress? Yes. But there's one problem with this. When stress comes, stress looks for somebody to blame. In the family, normally it's the daddy that gets blamed. If the daddy's not blamed, then it's the mama that gets blamed. If it's not the mama, then it's the kids that get blamed. If it's not the kids that get blamed, then it's the boss that gets blamed. If it's not the boss, then it's the teacher that gets blamed. If it's not the teacher, then it's the school. If it's not the school, it's the coach. Somebody's always going to get the blame. But you come down to verse number 6. Notice what David does with his stress. And David was greatly distressed. Not only was he distressed, he was greatly distressed. What you going to do, David? I'm going to fire the rest of these guys. You're out of here. All of you guys, I don't want you anymore. Get away from me. My wife got taken too. My kids are gone too. I don't need y'all anymore. You're going to blame me? Then I don't need you. Is that what David did? Was David greatly distressed? Yes, he was. What can you and I do with our stress? The people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. What can you do with stress? Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. You hear David say, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. I cried, and he heard my cry. Out of the depths I cried, and he heard my cry. Folks, stress is going to come. It's what we do with it. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul said, you know what? With my distress, with my persecution, with everything that's going on, I'm going to take it to my Lord. Hey, what am I saying? Many times we have medical problems that can be minimized because we have stress that does not need to be there. Here's a good indication if you got stress. Always walking around like that. And when you finally rest, you go like this. You've been walking around with stress. And that's 99% of us. I have to catch myself going, oh man, I was pretty tense there. And I'm in tense always anyway. And intense people don't need to compound their stress. David had all these men against him. He had the king of Israel against him. He had the king's men against him. But hallelujah, he had God for him. He had God for him. Because he had God for him, he could encourage himself in the Lord. I'm so glad that me and God's a majority. Amen. Amen. Me and God is a majority. Paul states, oh, we could have stressed out, but we did not. One more thing that we're going to close, besides steering stress and efficient exercise. One other basic thing increases medical problems that can be minimized. And I'm guilty of this one. And it beat me up when I researched it. We should get sufficient sleep to help minimize medical problems. Amen. Before I retired from the military, I was full-time in the Air Force, and I was full-time pastor. And, man, I was having headaches all the time. I thought, glory to God, why am I having all these headaches? And I went to the doctor, and they did all these scans because, you know, my dad had an aneurysm. His brother died of an aneurysm. My mother said, you need to get checked. I went there and got checked. I said, like, is something up here? They said, no, everything looks fine. I said, you sure ain't nothing up there? I'm having these headaches all the time. I went and talked to Pastor Nelson. I said, Pastor Nelson, you need to pray for me. I said, I'm having these headaches all the time, and had the church praying for me. And Pastor Nelson called me in the office one day. He said, Brother Dolph, let me ask you one thing. How much sleep are you getting at night? I said, about 3 hours. He said, there's your problem right there. I diagnosed you already. You can pay me. He said, you're not getting enough sleep. I thought, could it be so simple? Got a little bit more sleep. Man, did I feel good. Man, did I feel good. I thought, man, I was having all these headaches. And Pastor Nelson, he called me there.
Say, you're not getting enough sleep. I'm trying to be a full-time pastor, trying to work in the military full-time. Now, can it be done? Yes, it can. But it does have a cost. But it should never be at the expense of sleep, because guess what? Sleepwalking people do you no good. Amen. They do more harm than good. Amen. There's an article on sleep that I read as well. Sufficient sleep. Now, notice this. It says your brain is pretty binary, which when it comes to sleep, it has to rest. I mean, y'all know your brains have to rest. Amen. When you sleep, your brain rids itself of waste products and consolidates memory. Sound like your computer, doesn't it? I mean, y'all, you get your phone lagging or your computer lagging. What do? Reboot. And guess what happened? That thing starts working fine. You know what we need to do sometimes? Reboot. Reboot. Get some rest. Get adequate rest. This is by Dr. Chris Winter, and he's a sleep specialist. He says this. He said, sleep keeps your heart and circulation working and your digestion regular. You have a digestion problem, maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Amen. It's not yet known why we have to be unconscious for these things to happen, but we do. On average, people need 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep each night. That's why I was having all those headaches. Amen. Lots of people say they do fine on 5 hours, but they're more likely to be functional despite mild sleep deprivation. Functional and doing what is best for your body are not synonymous, he says. Taking care of your future self is important, and a long-term lack of sleep has been tied to many diseases. And I looked those up, but you do not want to hear them either. Amen. And they had some suggestions here, and I like this because some of these my wife does already. To help with your sleep, it says an hour before you hit the bed, start signaling your brain that it's time to unwind. Have a routine that you do. Close the kitchen. Have the dishes washed. Have the chores complete. Keep your bedroom cool between 60 and 67 degrees. That's cold. It says your body temperature needs to drop in order to sleep, so this gives it a head start. Dim the lights. Now, on the contrary, my wife, she wakes the children up. She dims their lights when it's time to wake up. You know what Dad does? I'll turn them on as far as they can go. I'll open up that window, let all that sun in. Get up! And they have unfairly accused me of going in Faith's room and saying, Faithy Poo, time to get up, baby. Come on, Faithy Poo, time to get up, baby. And then they unfairly said that I come down and said, boys, get up. I called their names. Joshua Gregory, get up. Now, I have much practice in that because my mother used to have to wake me up. I'm not going to tell y'all she woke me up, but... I was not easy to wake up. Let's just say it that way. Dim the lights. Let your body know that it's time to go to sleep. They said blue light from your computer screens and video screens disrupts your circadian rhythm, how you respond to light and darkness. It sets that thing off and gets it off kilter. I got convicted right there because I'd only go to bed by playing Candy Crush. Play my Candy Crush, and if I get beat, I put it down. If I win, I keep going. Amen. I put it down on the first try many a night. Amen. I have my little routine. I got to get my popsicle. My body says, ooh, it must be time to go to bed. You only get me when it's bedtime. Yeah, that's right. Me and you. You're going to help cool my temperature down. My wife said, turn the fan on, cool the room down. I said, get my popsicle. That'll cool me down. Amen. He says, try rearranging your time so that you can get good, positive sleep. Popsicle is pretty positive to me. Make your evenings more efficient so that you can get up earlier. Pray. Read the Psalms. Make bedtime a good time. Wow. I'm convicted already. Go to bed. What them kids do today? They did this. Yeah. Go to bed. They did this. They did that. They didn't wash the dishes. They didn't do this. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to sleep now. I'm real restful now. Let's go beat him now and get it over with. Amen. Wait till the morning. I'll rest better if I beat him now and get it over with. Amen. Hey, folks, what am I saying? Folks, if we're honest, as Americans, we don't sleep as much as we should. We really don't. And then there are some that sleep too much. And that's all they want to do is sleep. And so we've got to come from this spectrum and come from this spectrum and go right down the middle. Why? Sleep is necessary, folks. We can't operate without good sleep. And you'd be like me, 3.5 hours a night is not good for you. Go to Psalm 3, and we're going to close with this, Psalm 3. I like what the psalmist said here. This is David, and David was on the run from a lot of different things. This particular one was against Absalom. And this basic thing increases medical problems, or it can, that we can minimize, sufficient sleep. Notice what it says in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased to trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Notice verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I wait. Why, David? For the Lord sustained me. God wants us to get a good night's rest. There are a lot of concerns that we have. There are a lot of worries that are out there. There's a lot of stress out there. But we've got to do like David, encourage ourselves in the Lord. Take it to the Lord. What can minimize some of our problems that we have medically? A good daily diet will do you a lot of good. Some efficient exercise would do you a lot of good. Steering your stress to the Lord would do you a lot of good. And just getting sufficient sleep will help you reboot. Because we were made to work. But the Jews worked from sunup to sundown. After sundown, it stopped. And on the seventh day, they didn't do anything at all. None at all. Not even their servants, not even their animals worked. Wow. Why? I think God was trying to show us something. We could benefit from a good diet. We could benefit from some exercise. We could benefit from some sleep. And we could definitely benefit from steering stress and giving it to the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And folks, this may not take away all your medical problems, but it can sure make you feel a lot better. And there's biblical support throughout scriptures on every last one of those. Because there's no doubt we're going to come to Christ with medical problems of some sort, or relational problems, or occupational, or parental, or emotional. We're going to come to the Lord with problems. But in this book, God gives us the ability to navigate through every problem that we'll ever face, every problem we'll ever have, and every problem we'll need. And we only have one body to serve him with. It behooves us to take good care of it. And I hope some of these tips will help take you into the new year as you plan your schedule. I know one of the ones on top of my list is sleep. I need to get some sleep. My wife was just recently diagnosed with that sleep apnea. I don't even want to go in and talk to them. I know they're going to tell me, you just need to get some sleep. You don't have no apnea problem. You just need to get to bed. Amen. Stand up too late trying to do stuff. Amen. Just get in the bed. Get under the bed. Amen. I don't ever. Me and mom have never had problems sleeping. Me and mom will go sleep on you in a heartbeat. We have never had a problem with sleeping. Getting up? We're going to sleep? Ah. Waking up at night? I'm like a train. Once I go to bed, you ain't waking me up. But you know, all of us are going to have a problem of some sort. The greatest problem that you and I will face is death. We must have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Have you called on Jesus Christ to save you? If you have, let him help navigate you through problems. If you haven't, You need to call on him today. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to understand that you're a sinner and your sins have separated between you and God. But he loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ. This is the time of year that we celebrate, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, folks, I know we have had many of these messages, and you probably have forgotten this message or that message. But the one message you don't want to forget is that we need Jesus to be our Savior. Not just this time of the year, but every day of the year, to keep us in the way that we need to be. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. And folks, I don't know if you are one that should get more sufficient sleep to minimize your problems medically. Or maybe you need to steer stress to help minimize your medical problems. Maybe you just need to have some efficient exercise to help your medical problems, or maybe just a good diet, or maybe all of the above. I can tell you this, Jesus Christ is standing by to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He wants to direct you. The greatest problem that we have is Jesus Christ and being forgiven of our sins. Now, if you've never been forgiven of your sins, do so today. Ask Jesus Christ to save you. There is a place called hell, created for the devil and his angels. That's not where God wants you to go. But that's where we go if our sins are not forgiven. Father, bless now these next moments. And our invitation, Lord, I don't know who needs to do what, but God, place it upon the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl what they need to do and how they need to respond. And if it's getting saved, Lord, help them to allow us to take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. And maybe it's just their sleep, their stress, their exercise, their diet, whatever. Show them, Lord, what you would have them to do. That as we close 2019, open 2020, they will be better equipped to serve you because their bodies are feeling better and they can do what you call them to do. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless now in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many of us?